Shall we pray? May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. We reflect this week on the process of trial and testing that Jesus went through in the wilderness following his baptism. We're told that the Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. I use the word tested rather than tempted. I think it's slightly better because there's a sense in which this is a necessary thing that has to happen. It's a process of preparation for his ministry that Jesus went through. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness in solitude and fasting. It then says that he was famished. Well, you would be. Tempted to use some colourful phrases at this point, but I'll leave that out. We're told that the devil came and tested Jesus. Now, there's a strange thing here, that the devil or Satan in the Bible is sometimes a more ambiguous character than we might assume. Sometimes the Satan, particularly actually in the Old Testament, is allowed to sort of play a role in people's lives. The most obvious example of this is where Satan asks God permission to test Job. And the devil in this episode of Jesus' life seems to play that sort of a role. Jesus comes to a time of testing, a necessary time of reflection, taken away from everyday life, a step back. Those who've done some ministry training will recognise the phrase, a time of formation. Partly a welcome time of quiet and outdoors and away from it all and no responsibilities. Partly a fearful time of hunger and terrifying silence and mental struggle. Now, I wonder if our experience overlap with this at all. I say overlap, they're not going to be the same. Because Jesus' experience in some ways is quite far from ours. We're so aware that he was sinless and that he totally followed God's plan for him in a way that we, none of us do. But it seems that Jesus went through some of the same struggles that we do. We struggle to work out who we are and what we should do in life and how we should live. We struggle sometimes against negative thoughts that just won't leave us alone. Sometimes we have difficult life changes and need time alone to work things out. There can be intentional times of reflection along the journey of faith. Perhaps we might think of people who are preparing for baptism or for confirmation. We might think of people who are preparing for a role in ministry. And sometimes we take time to reflect in an intentional way for a season, such as Lent, or for another reason. And we may fast or deny ourselves in some way. But I don't want to suggest this is all a matter of choice. Many of the challenges of life come to us without choice. Many of those who are hungry or denied are that way without choice. It is the reality of life for many, as are the other mental and physical struggles that we may go through. And of course, we struggle with our own sinfulness, our wrong choices, and the ways we may fall. Now, we could picture Jesus as a role model. I like the idea of a sort of hero struggling against his nemesis from whom we can draw inspiration. We see him overcoming the various tests and challenges, struggling as he wrestles with the role he will play, with the road he will travel, and overcoming. But does even Jesus struggle within himself as we do? Yes, it seems so. He chooses the path that God set for him, but it's not automatic, it's hard won. So we're going to look briefly at the specific challenges given to Jesus and the way he deals with them. Firstly, the tempter came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." So the small stones lying around are imagined as small loaves of bread. Jesus replies with some words from the Bible. It's written, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus is actually quoting Deuteronomy here, a book we don't look at that much, words spoken to Israel in their 40 years wandering in the wilderness. I'll just read you the little bit. It says, "He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, which neither you or your nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." I was wondering whether to say it today is brought, a bit like Sesame Street, today is brought back to you by the number 40. Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness, and Israel was 40 years in the wilderness. And Jesus was clearly reflecting on that 40 years in the wilderness while he was doing his 40 days. All the bits of the Bible that he uses in this passage are to do with that. And I'm sure Matthew, who we've seen is very excited about Old Testament connections and connections with Israel, I'm sure Matthew intends us to see that connection. People sometimes say that Jesus resists the road of creature comforts. He does, doesn't he? He chooses to refuse the devil's suggestion. All I can say is I hope never to be put in that position of having to turn down food after 40 days without eating. But it made me think about a day I was on some time ago on mental health and some sharing that went on by the organisers and the participators on situations they were facing. And somebody on the day, I think it was one of the organists, simply said, "Life is hard." That was the thing I really took away from the day. It's kind of not expecting life to be easy. I mean, I hope life isn't unrelentingly hard. I hope your life is happy and good. But often life is hard. And I think Jesus really came face to face with that in the wilderness. Next, the devil took Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and rather craftily quoted the Bible at Jesus. Words from the Bible being spoken by the devil, whatever next. The devil said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Words from Psalm 91. "Fling yourself down into the temple courtyard and be rescued by angels." A temptation perhaps to instant fame. But perhaps we can't miss echoes of mental anguish here. Echoes of those who feel themselves invincible and would jump oblivious to the danger. Echoes of those who feel quite the opposite and in despair might jump to end it all. I'm not entirely sure I should be mentioning such things, these extremes of human emotion, every difficult thought. Jesus quotes back at him from Deuteronomy again, his mind back with Israel on their wilderness wanderings. "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." The reference here is, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah." Again, the devil took Jesus to a mountain very high and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, or perhaps their power. The devil said to Jesus, "All these I will give if you fall down and worship me." The devil has gone too far this time, and Jesus dismisses him. "Away with you, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." This is a third bit of Deuteronomy, you won't be surprised by now. "The Lord your God you shall fear, him shall you serve, and by his name alone shall you swear." I feel a connection here to times in our lives when we start to come back to our right mind, when we are able to smile again, when we feel the presence of God, when we know forgiveness, when the sun pokes through, when life seems worth living again. Of course, healing isn't always instant. Solutions aren't easy. But sometimes the moment comes when we see the truth. We can put to one side the difficult thoughts. We change our perspective. We find the hope. We get a glimpse of God's grace. "Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered," says the psalmist. And we remember that the end of Lent comes Easter and resurrection. Jesus, in solitude and silence, contemplates the life that God has for him to live. Recognizing our common experience with him, may our attitude reflect his as we follow the road that God has prepared for us. Now, as we finish this talk, I'd like to read you a poem which is called Temptations. And it's written by a chap who's known as Brother Eckhart. He's a novice in the Order of St. Benedict in the US, in the Episcopal Church. Here we go. Temptations. Creature comforts. And why not? All you have to do is give up a few rocks, these sun-baked stones that burn your hands and cut your feet. Could soon become a desert treat. Stop being so hard on yourself. Fame. All yours for the taking. All you have to do is leave this lonely wilderness. Head right to the centre of the noisy crowd. Drop in your branding loud and clear. Start showing what you've got. Power. Not as easy, but well within your reach. All you have to do is want it more than anything. Make it your top priority, your one and only deity, instead of your strange, silly god of suffering, solitude, and silence.